Today we are going to continue in our study of the parables, and in fact today we're going to be looking at two of them because they are very similar in their context of what the parable is speaking of, and it's been entitled, or we're calling it, Don't Give Up, or Do Not Give Up, a parable or parables on prayer. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, and we are going to be in chapter 11, and we're going to begin there in verses 5, and we're going to read 5 through 13, and then we're going to flip directly, and I'll give you a moment to get to that then. We're going to flip directly then to 18 and verses 1 through 8, but we're going to start here in the book of Luke in the 11th chapter. And we're going to be beginning in verse 5 and going through 13. Now, I want to preface this with the understanding that as this parable is coming, please remember it is directly on the heels of Jesus having taught his disciples how ought they pray. Okay? They had asked him the question, and he had given them a mode of prayer. Okay? This was not meant to be a word-for-word prayer, but a mode of prayer, a model of prayer, what prayer was to look like, okay? And we say it word-for-word. In fact, we're going to say it in a little while when we have our prayer after the sermon here. And it's kind of amazing because they're wonderful words, amen? But more importantly, it is meant to be a lifestyle, how we are to lead into prayer, how our life is to reflect prayer, and what we're supposed to be as Christians. It's really an awesome lesson if you would study it. In fact, you know, when you think about it, there's people who have taught on the Lord's Prayer for years and years and years, and there's still more to be learned from it. But the apostle here is teaching us now from that point forward, and this is Christ speaking. So from the fifth verse, we read these words. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me, the door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Will he not give him a snake instead of a fish? Will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion. Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And then turning to chapter 18, just a few pages over, if you would, please. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Similar in that its heart is on prayer, but a different context. It says, now, and this is also Jesus is speaking here, Jesus is teaching. It says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our immortal souls. Amen. Now, I want you to keep a bookmark there, as I've just done, and then you can turn back to 11 and 5, because that's where we're going to start. But these two are, they're so similar in the fact of what they're talking about, prayer, and they're also similar in another aspect, because these parables are what are called contrast parables, okay? One of the things I want us to understand is Jesus is oftentimes teaching to us in the parables about God. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to be serious, okay? In the first parable, the man that was gone to and asked for bread was asleep. Is God asleep? No. God is ever awake. According to Psalms, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. Okay? So we need to understand that these parables are contrasting what? They're contrasting us, the human form, okay, the fallen nature, compared to the eternal nature of God. We were created in the image of God. We are supposed to be like him. We are not. So how is it that those of us who say that we were created in the image of God are nowhere near what God our Father looks like or who he is? Because God, not only does he not sleep, but according to the second parable, the judge was unjust, okay? He feared neither God nor man. He was an unjust justice, okay? Isn't a justice supposed to bring justice? You know, it kind of amazes me when you think about that, because that's why they're called a justice, because they are supposed to bring peace. They are to settle disputes, okay? This guy wasn't into settling disputes. He was into dictating his stuff, all right? God is not like that. God is a just God. He is the only just judge. And we need to understand, it's contrasting who we are, who our broken nature has brought us to be, and that is that we are procreated in the image of Adam. We are no longer the image of God. You are not created in the image of God. You are created, procreated, in the image of fallen Adam. So this is for all the pastors out there, anybody who cares to be on my tube here, our tube, watching us. Stop telling people they are created in the image of God. That's why people are so messed up. Because if I am all this broken and I am created in the image of God, this is what God must be. Wrong chicken. Okay? And for those of you who are out there, we're from Lebanon and there are three chicken plants here. That's why we say wrong chicken. You got three to choose from. Okay? And we know the only good chicken, right? I won't go there. We'll have a long debate on that one. But when we look at who we are and how God here is contrasting, how Jesus here is contrasting all this stuff, we cannot know everything. But God does know everything, doesn't he? God knows everything from the beginning to the end. Okay? We need to understand that God is always present. He sees everything that's going on. He is omniscient, all-knowing. Okay? And people say, well, if God's all-knowing, then why do we need to pray? Because God also wants you to have a relationship with him. It's not a one-sided thing. Okay? God wants us to be involved with him. He wants us to have a living relationship. These two parables that we are looking at here contrast our evil, depraved, fallen nature and God's perfect and holy nature. And Jesus is very clear that he wants us to understand that God, our Father, is a giver of good gifts, okay? You know, I think it's funny because we just heard a horrible story about a young man, 5 years old, thrown out in the streets because his parents were crack addicts, okay? And you know, the scripture tells us, you know, if we who are evil are givers of good gifts to our children, and let's all face it, folks, you know, I really want to, because I have a hard time with that piece of scripture, because how many of us have passed on our dysfunction to our children? And then we wonder where they get it. The nuts don't fall far from the tree. Unless they're on a hill, then they may roll a little bit. Okay? So we need to understand, we are creatures of our genetics. We are fallen creatures from that image of Adam. And we procreate that broken image. And the further we have gotten from the time of creation to now, that gap has gotten wider to the point that no man could see from one side to the other except one, the man, God, Jesus Christ. Because not only could he see from one side to the other, he was standing on one side and standing on the other. He is the bridge which covers the gap. And it's only through his death, burial, and resurrection that we have any hope of finding that passage. Amen. Man, am I preaching? You people need to wake up. The second thing that we need to understand about these parables, and this is something I want everybody to understand. You know, folks, how many people do you know? I want you to be honest about this. How many people do you know? And how many of you folks out there, you find people praying, all right? Unbelievers. You know, oh yeah, boy, this terrible thing. You know, I was just praying to God. Oh, I was just praying to God. Do you think God hears those prayers? I think it's funny because those people do. But the reality is the scripture is very clear about the prayers that God hears. It's very clear about the prayers that God hears. You know, I love it because I have people tell me, you know, oh, I don't go to church, but I pray all the time. Really? That's cool. Because I'll tell you what, you don't have to go to church to be saved, but if you are going to truly be a saved person, you will be in church, okay? Because that's a commandment of our Lord. And I'm talking to you people out there who are sitting watching this on TV right now. You need to be in a church. And a church is not a building. A church is in connection with other people who are like-minded. Can I get an amen? Amen. And not just like-minded, but born again in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? And that's who God hears. He hears those who are his own. Pastor, come on. Does he really say that? I don't believe you. Well, where do you get that from? We just read it. We just read it, okay? Everybody turn back. Remember what I said. Back to Luke chapter 11. Because we need to remember. This is why I prefaced where this came from, all right? Because Jesus had just taught them how to pray. Look at how they were taught to pray. What is the first thing that is said here in this prayer in verse number 2? When you pray, say... Some of them say, our Father. Others just say, Father, right? Oh, okay. We're talking about a connection here, a child-parent relationship, okay? We need to understand that, you know, in this parable, it talked about a father if a son asks, all right? And then it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Folks, we need to understand this is a father-son relationship, child-parent relationship, okay? Child-parent relationship. Well, you know, well, that's okay, Pastor. You know, there's one there. We'll give you that one. Well, let's look at the other parable. Remember, put your bookmark over and flip over, okay? That's why those little bookmarkies are in there, right? And flip over. And in chapter 18, it doesn't get any more clear. Because in chapter 18, it uses a very real aspect of our citizenship. Okay? It uses a very real aspect from verse 7. It says, "Now will not God bring about justice for his whom?" That is talking about those who have been chosen since before the foundation of the earth. We are the elect in Christ Jesus. We have a relationship with Christ Jesus, for he has sealed us with his Spirit. He has chosen us. You and I cannot choose God. God chooses us. We need to understand that. God knows we will respond to him, so he has chosen us before the foundation of the earth. It is part of his eternal nature. Okay? That does not mean God says, you're going to be damned and you're going to hell. He knows as we are procreated whether we will respond to him, and he has known that before the foundation of the earth. And as one thing you also need to learn, there are some people who can never be chosen because they are not of the human lineage. The Nephilim are well and alive. Check that out. Boy, that's a teaching I want to do one day, and we will do that. And they are completely and totally unredeemable. Completely and totally. And we need to understand that God knows us from the beginning. He knows whether we are a child of God or a child of Satan and where we're going to live. And we are the elect because we are predestined, okay? Yeah, for some of you folks out there, you're saying, well, that's getting a little too Calvinistic for me. Well, suck it up, cupcake. It's who we are, okay? You know, I don't hold to all of it because there's truth in it. You know, it's well, now wait a minute, you know, you're preaching on the other side of the Reformed here. You know, we came from Zwingli, and Zwingli doesn't believe in the tulip. Well, I see tulips growing all over the place, but I also see that we have free will. Can I get an amen? And we have to walk in and with God. This is a relationship. Okay? And God says that this is one of the things that we need to understand. Membership has its privileges, right? We've heard that. You know, we see that credit card, you know. Membership has its privileges. Well, guess what? Relationship has its privileges. Because when you're in the family of God, your parents hear you. Now, I'm going to be a little stupid here just for a moment. All right, gonna be just a little dumb. How many of you parents really worry about what's happening to children 50 miles away when your kids are hurting? We deal with our own first, right? And then if there's enough time and space and finances and what have you, then we'll go to the others, right? That's a worldly thing. I mean, let's face it. You know, I don't have all my neighbor's kids living in my house. I don't feed all my neighbor's kids. I don't clothe all my neighbor's kids. Whose kids do I clothe? Praise God, I only had to clothe one. I only had to feed one. If I had two of him, I couldn't have afforded it. So God knows that, you know, we are looking at it is a broken image. It is a very poor image because it's been busted. Because we are no longer the image of God, but there are remnants of it still in there. But we are the image of our broken father, Adam. Okay? So even we know how to do some things right, but not all things. But God gives to his children freely, willingly, wantingly, and he desires to have that relationship because he wants us then to bring others into the family. I'll tell you what, I got one of the best adoptive daddies in the world. Because when he adopts us, we are not children of pen and ink. You know, this is funny. I hope you get this. We are not children of pen and ink. We are children of blood. Can I get an amen on that? We are children of blood, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ poured out on the cross of Calvary. We're not children of ink and pen and paper. We are children of blood and flesh. I mean, what does the elements represent? His broken body and his poured out blood. It doesn't get any more real than that. And for those of us who come to him in that manner, God is there to hear our prayers. Now, we had a wonderful discussion at at discipleship earlier today. And I'm looking, there she is. Miss Eva hit on this subject. I mean, she hit that nail right on the head because she had no idea what Pastor was preaching on today. And she said, well, how do we know what God's will is? How do we know whether we're supposed to wait on God or do something? Let's answer that question. Because our next point is this. Does God give us everything that we ask for? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the answer to that question is very easy, and it's two little letters, one capital and one lowercase, with an exclamation mark at the end. No. Because God knows that we pray for things that we don't really need, that we may not be prepared for yet. You know, I think it's funny because I hear Christians all the time, they're praying that, you know, I have to laugh. I'm going to use a real life situation, but no name, okay? Had a young person, they were praying for a spouse, praying for a spouse, praying for a spouse, praying for a spouse. They were miserable. They were so unhappy. They didn't know why their life was so in a turmoil. I just need somebody in my life. And I kept telling them, well, you need to talk to the Lord. You need to pray to Jesus. You need to seek the Lord. Because what I kept was trying to tell them was, who do we need to love first? We need to love God first. Get that first relationship going, and then God will get everything else going, all right? But this person was so wrapped up in having to have a physical relationship, they got into one. Then they got into two. Then they got into three. And when they were in about number four, they just kept coming back and saying, everything just keeps falling apart on me. I don't understand it. And I said, I've been telling you for the last 7 years. I'm going to tell you flat out now. You got to love yourself and love the Lord before you can love anybody else. And if you don't love the Lord, there's no love in you. For God is love. Can I get an amen? We cannot know how to love until we have love in us. So when we understand that God says no to us, we need to understand God is saying no in a loving way. So then the question becomes, as Miss Eva presupposed, okay, how do we know whether we're supposed to keep going on this thing or we're just, you know, how do we know? Well, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to take you to several different places here. Romans chapter 12. Because this one I want you to read. As I read it, I want you to follow along, okay? And I'm going to let my bookmark you there. Romans chapter 12, just two little verses. But these are two very important verses when it comes to understanding what are we supposed to do. You know, these prayers are talking to us about praying, about not giving up, because, you know, in the first, the gentleman didn't give up, right? The first one, the gentleman didn't give up. And we need to understand, in the second one, the widow didn't give up. They just kept coming at them, all right? We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but I want to go here first. From Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Wow. Because until we have that relationship with God, we can't know whether we're supposed to keep going or stop. You know, how, am I supposed to... To, you know, what am I supposed to do? Or am I supposed to wait on the Lord? That's a terrible place to be. Because you're totally locked up. Okay? Because in that place, you literally are stuck. Well, the first thing we need to realize is we need to be right with God first. There may be a reason that you're being hindered in this prayer. And that is because you aren't right. How many of us are right? I'm not, I'm half left. Okay? I'm duplistic. And if we think about that, we can all understand where that's coming from. All right? Because we have, part of us is yet a sinful human being, because we still live in this fallen flesh. Can I get an amen? It's not a good amen, but it's an amen. But then there's a part of us that is born again. There's a part of us, the old is gone and the new has come. And how many of us need more of that new to overcome that old? Can I get an amen? Because that's where we need to be. And in that, we will find that as we are transformed, God helps us to understand when and how we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. Because He'll give us clarity of mind. Because we are told that we can test the spirits, that we may know whether this is the will of God or whether it's not. And that's one of the amazing things. We all stand around waiting for God just to pour out answers from heaven. And God says, no, 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 you don't understand. There's more to this relationship than me just giving you what you ask for. Okay? You're supposed to work with me. Work with me. Give me something to work with. Okay? That's what God says. You know, that's why I'm here, right? You keep coming every Sunday because God keeps giving me something to work with. If the place was empty, I wouldn't be preaching, because I wouldn't have anything to work with, okay? But you keep coming, and you keep coming, and praise God, come back. Because God says, if I have somebody to work with, if I have something to work with, if I have a soul to work with, I have a person, and that person can be transformed to the heart of Jesus Christ. What? I think I heard that somewhere before. So let's look at some of this transformation. Let's look at some of what's going on here. I want you to turn back to our parables here. Turn back to our parables here. I think it's kind of amazing because in the first parable, Luke 11, 5 through 13, there's a guy here and you know, he's praying or he's going to his friend and he's pestering his friend, you know, because he's got another friend who's come in from a long way off and he needs something to eat for this guy. He doesn't have anything. And it's just kind of amazing because this fella is in bed, right? He's in bed with his kids. Now, can you imagine this conversation taking place through a door? You know, this guy ain't even getting up. Well, you go away. No, I got a friend who just came in from Chicago, and he's hungry, and I need some food. Can you imagine how the neighbors must feel seeing and hearing all this? I want you to picture the church, okay? I want you to picture the church. How much do we let everybody see our dirty laundry? Happens all the time, okay? But yet, though this guy is his friend, he doesn't give him anything because he's his friend. Why does he give him something? Because he wants to shut him up. Let's be nice about it, right? Yeah, persistence, but he wants to shut him up. I'll give him something and he'll shut up. Well, how about the judge? Okay? What about the judge? Why does the judge do his thing? You know, this guy's there, you know, no, I'm not doing anything for you. No, I'm not doing anything for you. No, I'm not doing anything for you. And finally, he says to himself, oh my goodness. I don't fear man, and I don't fear, but this woman, how many of you guys can, you know, this woman, you know I'm going to get in trouble when we go to leave here today. All these ladies are going to be, what was that all about? But this judge says, you know, because she keeps coming, she's going to wear me out, so I'm going to give her what she wants just to shut her up. Isn't that the way our world works? Look at our political system, people. 2% to 10% of the people in our populace are gaining all the legislation in our populace. Think about that. Because all they're doing is screaming and hollering and screaming and hollering and screaming and hollering, and they're getting everything they want. We, and I'm going to go on a bandwagon here just for a moment. Please pardon me, but I'm going down a rabbit trail. Come with me. We live in a country that has what we call unalienable rights. We call them our constitutional rights. One of those rights is the fact that we are allowed to bear arms. The reason for that is to make sure that our government does not get to a point where it is so oppressive to the people that the people have a way of protecting themselves against their government, as well as protecting itself against foreign governments who would come in to try and take over our land. But please remember, it's duplistic in its reason. It's meant to keep us free, and it's also meant to keep us free. Free from our own tyranny and free from external tyranny. Am I right, Brother Dennis? Okay. 2 to 10% of the people are screaming. They want guns taken away. They want guns taken away. Look how many people are getting killed. We just had a horrible shooting out in Las Vegas. Okay? 59 people died, 519 people wounded or hurt because of it. Because one man took a gun and acted irresponsibly. Did that gun act irresponsibly? No, the gun did exactly what it was supposed to do. It's a tool. It's a machine. Okay? A person acted irresponsibly. Rather than legislating against people and holding people accountable for their deeds, because we're all wonderful people, no, we are evil above all things. Okay? I think we started out with that a little bit earlier today, didn't I? Isn't it amazing? Because this rabbit trail does have a purpose. And the reality is, it literally costs billions of dollars to keep our nation free. Because of these ones that are screaming and coming at, and the world operates in the very manner that the scripture says the world operates. That these ones who keep coming, are the ones who are getting the results. But to stop them, it takes law-abiding citizens billions of dollars to defend their rights. What is correct about that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the amazing thing is, when we get to heaven, we're going to see just the opposite. We're going to see that those who are the 2% or 10% and they're screaming because of what they want, they're not going to be heard. In fact, during the millennium, they will be squashed, because Jesus does not come back. And this is one of the amazing things. Please check this out. Jesus does not come back as a wonderful, loving, happy-go-lucky, oh, it's all joy, joy, happy, happy. You know, the Teletubbies won't be anywhere around when he comes back, because the scripture says he will rule with an iron scepter. What don't you understand? The Jews are going to get what they want for the millennium. They wanted the conquering king, and the conquering king comes and sets up his kingdom of justice and rule over an unruly people. We need to be careful what we ask for. Can I get an amen? But aren't we glad that right now we live under grace? And under grace, God says, I am there for my people. I love my children. I hear your pleas. I understand what you need and what you want. God here is telling us, Jesus here is telling us, how do we then know what to pray? What things should we pray for? How can we understand this? You know, Lord, when things are going tough and I just need that help, how do I know you're going to be there? Well, he tells us to pray, 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 pray. He says, pray the promises of God. You know, that's one of the things that we can pray. And that comes to us from James 1 and 5. You know, he says, pray for wisdom. How many of us, it's one of the most amazing things. Why are we praying in the first place? Because we don't know what to do. We can't get through this thing. So we need to pray for wisdom on how to get through it. And God says what to his children? If we pray for wisdom, he's going to withhold it, right? No, he says, if you pray for wisdom, I will give it willingly. But go and act as if you've received it. In other words, stop walking in your stupidity and ignorance. What's ignorance, by the way? Lack of knowledge. Okay, it's not a bad thing. Our world makes it a bad thing, right? I'll tell you right now, there are so many things that I am ignorant of because I just don't know. I don't have the mind of God. I need that mind of God. I need his wisdom. I pray for it all the time. That's why I've got white hair. I'm 54. I shouldn't be this white. But I need this much wisdom, because I want to be poured out. I want to help all of you achieve more and go beyond me. Remember, I stand at the door. I can't enter in. It's a beautiful prayer, okay? And if you don't understand it, please speak to me or Brother David and we'll show it to you. But it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful little short story prayer poem. It's about pastors and the fact that we're standing at the door of eternity. We're standing at the door into God's kingdom. And we're ushering all of you in, okay? But we can't go in. We can't go in. Our call is to stand at the door and call and point and usher you in. And you get to go to places that we can't even trod yet. You get to experience things that we can't because we have to stand at the door. We've given our lives to the call of the ministry. And we point and we say, Jesus is this way. Jesus is this way. And when you go beyond us and you enter in, you get to see the depths of God. You get to know the depths of God. You get to find him when a car is flipping over and glass is blowing out and wonder, oh my goodness, you know, what's this all about? God wants to show you that life is yours. Stop wasting it. Use it. It's a precious commodity. Pray the promises of God. Pray for peace. Oh, my heavens. That's the book of James. That's the book of Philippians. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. What's it say there, Root? I think that's one of your prayers. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Go ahead. You find it. She's going to give it to us here in a minute. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't go to 8, okay? Just 4, 6, and 7, okay? Philippians 4. I put her on the spot, now her hands are nervous. She can't find the chapter. Marion got it for her. Savior.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses...
Stop. Don't go there yet.
You said 6 and 7.
Oh, 6 and 7? Oh, yeah, don't go to 8. I'm sorry.
Which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. What a promise. Be anxious about nothing. When was the last time in the midst of a turmoil, in the midst of a struggle, that you were able to say, oh, I cast all my cares upon you? You know, we sing that song, don't we? We sing the songs, but do we live the life? We need to live the life. We need to cast those cares, receive that peace, know that he's there, and he's going to get us through, okay? I'm telling you right now, you know, and I laugh because I spoke about this last week. When Miss Clara made that phone call to me, and she's talking to me, yeah, I flipped Daniel's car, I'm thinking, she's laughing. And she wasn't laughing because it was Daniel's car. She was laughing because the joy of the Lord was in her soul because she had survived this thing and God had proven himself to be there in her time of need. He is our strength in a time of trouble. Amen. So we pray those things. When we don't know what to do, we pray for peace. We pray for understanding. We pray for wisdom. Okay? Because then we can test the spirits that come our way and we can understand the directions that we're supposed to go. And then we need to persevere in prayer. Ruth Ann, let's pick up, or Marion. Nope, we'll let Ruth Ann. She's got it. Verse 8. Hang on. Charles is getting the microphone again. I should have warned you, Charles, just to let it there.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
Amen. One of the greatest ways of knowing what are we supposed to do or not do? Am I to move forward or am I supposed to, you know, how do I know? Is to pray in the Spirit and asking God, you know, what should I do? And if God gives you the Spirit to move forward, move forward. If God tells you to stop, stop. You know, it's one of the most amazing things. People will come to me all the time and say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to do with this. Well, when you don't know what to do, ask the one who knows. He is all-knowing. And then when he proves himself, move in it. Okay? Now, I've had people say to me, well, you know, I'm not going to pray for that person because I know God's never going to save them. You know, there are people, you know, that can never be saved, et cetera, et cetera. Well, yeah, that's true. Are you God? There's only one answer to that question. No. So pray. There's a story about a gentleman, and I just read this last night. It's a story about George Mueller. George Mueller was a man of prayer. He had an orphanage in England, and he ran that orphanage completely and totally dependent upon prayer. There was no income. The only income that ever came in was donation. And George Mueller was a man of prayer. They said he wore out his knees 5 times. Okay, if you understand what they're talking about in that, because he was constantly a man of prayer. There was more than once that they did not have enough food to feed the children of the orphanage, and at one point in time there were over 2,000 orphans in the orphanage. They had no food, and he would be on his knees praying, and the lunch meal would show up at lunchtime. That's not a joke, and this happened time after time after time. Well, George Mueller had 2 friends. He was saved at the age of 5. And these 2 friends of his, these 2 buddies of his that he grew up with, he prayed for them and prayed for them and prayed for them. For over 67 years, he prayed for them. The first man that he was praying for finally believed when George Mueller was preaching his last known sermon. The gentleman gave his life to the Lord and came forward at that time. Last sermon George Mueller preached. The other gentleman that he prayed for came to the Lord 1 year after George Mueller died. We don't know when God will answer our prayers, but we cannot stop. My great-grandmother prayed for me for years and years and years and years, and she died praying for me. I was not a Christian at that time. I had given my life to the Lord, and I had walked away because I was in the UCC, and I really didn't understand what it meant to give your life to the Lord. All right? But God takes your word serious. So I was his, I just didn't know it. But he brought me around to knowing him. And it took years for that to happen. And when it did, when it finally did, and I became a pastor, I remember now all the prayers and how in my salvation moment, the words I heard were the words of my great-grandmother. I literally heard, and we called her Dickie, I heard Dickie's voice speaking to me. It was a comforting voice. I guess that's why God used it, because my children will know my voice. Well, it sounded like my great-grandmother. After that time, he's never spoken to me in that voice again, because now I know his voice. He speaks to me very clearly. Now, there are also times that he speaks to me in a very muddled way. Why is that? Is he muddled? No, I am muddled in my understanding and in my desires. There are times I block prayers from being answered because I'm not wanting the way God wants to answer it. How many of you have ever been there? You want it your way, not God's way. You know, we don't pray asking God for something. We pray telling God something, right? So what things should we pray for? How do we know? One of the things that we need to understand is we should never pray for anything that is outside of God's will. We have to understand what God's will is. How do you understand what God's will is? How can you know what God's will is? I think it's one of the most amazing things because it's written in this book. I tell you these things that you may and yet we walk around saying, well, how do we know? How do we know? When was the last time you talked to him? When was the last time you listened? That's one of the biggest aspects, is when we read this, we need to be listening. Our spirit needs to be open to hear it and receive it and become it, okay? Because if we understand this, to hear in the Hebrew means to do. You don't just, doesn't just get in there, you become the thing, all right? So when we hear the word, we become the word. And that's one of the things we need to understand. And what kind of things do we need to be praying for? Number one, that we need to be praying that all things would draw us to the heart of God. Okay? That everything that we pray, everything that we are, would draw us to the heart of God. Bring us back to that image. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to truly be that image once again. So what, you know, it's so funny because I have people saying, well, you know, those aren't the things I pray for. Well, should you be praying for the things you're praying for? That's one of the greatest understandings of prayer. There are things that we should pray for and things that we shouldn't pray for. Okay? You know, I've had people say, well, you know, I want to buy a new refrigerator. Should I pray about that? I said, you need to pray about whether you should pray about getting a refrigerator. And they're like, huh? I said, yeah, exactly. In other words, you don't know what you're supposed to pray for. God knows what you need, and He'll see to it that you have those things that you need. If you need a refrigerator, yours is broken and your food is rotting, I don't think you need to pray about that. Go get a refrigerator. Now, do I need to spend $1,000 for something I can get for $300? Again, that's not something to pray for. That's common sense. Oh, that's right. We threw that out, right? Again, it's understanding that we have certain principles to which we're supposed to live by. And as we operate in those principles of goodwill in God's heart, drawing ourselves to Him, God will answer our prayers. We need to remember the Lord's Prayer teaches us how to pray. The first thing we do is give thanks unto God. All of our prayer needs to be prayer of thanksgiving. All of our prayer needs to be prayer of understanding that He is God. He's not Santa Claus. And that His will become my will. In other words, Lord, I'm going to give up my stuff. Remember what I taught you about the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's free, but it will cost you everything. And that's not a joke, because we have to die to ourselves. Second thing we need to understand is God wants us to pray for ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. Come on, that's simple. That's a no-brainer. God wants you to pray for your daily needs. God wants you to pray and move in your being for the things that you need on a daily basis. He wants to be available to you on a daily basis. Please understand, God's talking about a relationship here. Don't come to me just when there's problems. Be there with me all the time. This is all part of this. Don't give up. Because once we start in this, God wants to be there always. You know, I think it's funny. How many of you parents want to be in your children's lives? It's neat because when they're teenagers, we want to kick them out, get them out of the house. Oh my God, I can't believe they're still here. Right? I just need them out. Go to college, something. That starts at age 3. Ooh. I forgot that. But it's amazing. And then one of the most cool things happened when they reached their 20s. All of a sudden, now they're a mature adult, and we want them back, don't we? We want them, and we want their kids. We want their kids. That's the amazing thing, because we didn't want our kids, you know, send them out there. But we want our grandkids. Why? Because we can send them home. We have to laugh at ourselves, don't we? But God wants us there always, all the time. No matter where we are, no matter what our age. And folks, I want you to hear something. Some of you are 3 years old. Some of you are 13 years old. Some of you are 60 years old. Some of you are as old as Methuselah in the Lord. Do you know what I mean by that? I'm talking a spiritual age. And God wants us at every age. And I'm going to tell you something, one of the things that I have learned, the very same individual can be a 3-year-old in this aspect and a 926-year-old in this one. Because God is not a respecter of age. He's a respecter of maturity and love and character. And He knows where we are. and he knows where we aren't. And he says, don't stop. There's so much more for you to learn. This life is preparation for eternity. We are in school to learn. And how many of us, when you're in school, when you're in class, right? I can remember being in college. I want to be the best preacher I can be. So when it came to all my classes, boy, I studied. I put myself into them. You know, I hated getting below a B. You know, I had to have a B or better because I wanted to prove to myself and the world that, yes, God has called me to ministry, and that's the only way I can do it is get that good grade. So we put all our effort into it. How many of us live our lives like that in Christ Jesus? We come to church on Sunday, and then Monday through Saturday, God is devoid of us. And that's a lot of people in the church. Now, I'm not saying it's all of you, but God is devoid of us, especially when we're in the company of unfamily people, you know, people outside the family of God. It's neat because I deal with, yeah, what time is it? Oh, okay, tough. I deal with people all the time, and it's so amazing because there are folks that, you know, they're out here in the world, they're in the workplace, and how do they act? Like the world. Like the world. And then they come into the presence of Christians, and all of a sudden, whew, there's this transformation. And all of a sudden, there are beams of light coming out of their head. It's like, really, Joker? Come on. Because you ain't getting it over on God. Can I get an amen on that? God knows the heart. God knows the man. God's a God of grace and a God of glory. Can I get an amen on that? And he knows that you are really, literally about 2 years old right now. Can I get an amen on that? Because isn't that the way two-year-olds operate? When they want something, they'll suck up like, oh my. But when they are having a temper tantrum, forget it. I love it. The terrible twos. Sometimes we are all 2 years old. Can I get an amen? So let us not give up, but let us keep moving forward. Let us pray for ourselves. Let us pray for others, because that's what our prayer teaches us. Pray for others. Pray for them. And pray specifically. Okay? You know, I think it's so amazing because, you know, people are like, well, how do I know what I'm supposed to do? Well, gee, don't just ask to do something. Ask specifically, Lord, am I supposed to do this? Because then God can answer that. Because if you say, Lord, am I supposed to do something? What am I supposed to do? Well, I want you to do something, but, you know, you're not really listening to me because I want you to be over here, but you're looking like this, so you're not seeing it. See this little light over here flashing? Beep, 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 beep. You don't see it. Pray specifically. That way God can answer you specifically. Okay? Pray specifically. That's one of the keys. And lastly, we are supposed to be, and this is this is one of the most amazing things. When we do what the Scripture says, it tells us to pray unceasingly, correct? In other words, we are supposed to be a person of prayer. As we are going, as we are being, we are to be a person of prayer, constantly checking in with God. What happens when you live like that? Ultimately, a life of prayer changes me. Okay? Unceasing prayer ultimately changes me. That is God's will. Can you say that? I want you to say that. Unceasing prayer ultimately changes me. That is God's will. That's the one thing we need to remember. That's the truth. You can't pray for somebody else to be changed if you're not willing to be changed first. Can I get an amen and an hallelujah? You know, that's one of the things I love about church. Because I get to sit here and watch the husbands elbow the wives, and the wives elbow the husbands, and the parents look at the kids. Yeah. Because they're all like, he's talking to you. Did you hear that? I told him about you this morning. I knew he was going to say that. If they ever say that, don't believe them, okay? But ultimately, a life of prayer, an unceasing life of prayer, changes us. It's transformation from within. And that is transformation back unto the image of God. So don't give up. God is going to give us everything we need, everything we desire, everything that is within His will. Some of it's going to take time because sometimes we need to be prepped, okay? You know, you don't paint a car without sanding it and buffing the dents or, you know, taking the dents out. You got to prep it first. Otherwise, you throw a coat of paint on it, what's going to happen? It's just going to flake right back off. God doesn't want us to have a coat of paint. God wants us to be transformed from the inside out. So let's keep going and let's not give up. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Brother Charles. Father God, we do thank you. We thank you for the love that you give us. We thank you that you are the just judge, that you do give us, not because we keep coming back, but because you know what we need, and you love us, and you want us to have the good things of life and to be transformed. Lord, as we continue praying, not only for ourselves, but for our friends and for our world, we ask, Father, that you would help to transform us in such a way that we're praying specifically, that we can see your work, and that we can understand what our portion in it is. Because, Lord, we want to know that when all is said and done, that we will hear those wonderful and faithful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." For, Lord, not that we would wish praise, but that we would know somewhere along the line we actually began getting it right. Because, Lord, we do want to please you, and we want to be a blessing to those who are around us that they may receive life too. Father, guide us now, we pray thee. Protect us with the power of thine Holy Spirit. Go before us, go behind us, go on both sides of us, go on top and underneath, that we may be protected by your love, guaranteed by your grace to bring that grace to others, to be the light of this world. Father, we thank you for who you are and how you use us in Christ Jesus. And God's church says, amen. Please.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.